Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome into the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you here on a Tuesday night. I actually was not supposed to be doing a show tonight. Sabres were supposed to be playing at 7:30 tonight, but due to weather, of course, as we all know, that game has been postponed. The second postponement for the Sabres in the last week or so. It's going to be well over a week since the last time the Sabres played. If their game on Thursday against the Detroit Red Wings does go through, but I'll take having a show. I have no problem with doing that at all. I do want to jump right into a tweet I just got. If you weren't listening earlier to Schopp and Bulldog, Bulldog is off this week, so it was just me and Mike Schopp today. Had a number of guests. Very, very good show. One of the topics, though, me and Schopp talked about was cereal and chocolate-covered, you know, foods, like just chocolate-covered, you know, salty foods, like chips, Chex Mix, pretzels. Like, does it just make it better? And one of the conversations we then had about was cereal. And I got a tweet here, both at me and Schopp. Cereal has nothing to do with breakfast. It is a before-bed cuisine. Because I used to be a cereal eater, and now I don't really eat a ton of breakfast. I know it's bad for me. No one needs to tweet at me saying, like, the breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I'm fine. Give me, like, two meals and a ton of snacks throughout the day. I am fine. I guarantee my metabolism will hate me in a few years. But for right now, that's how we're going with it. With that being said, cereal is a before-bed cuisine. My dad would agree so hard on that point. I've never seen that man have a bowl of cereal in the morning. I have seen him hundreds of times have a bowl of cereal before bed. And like, that's like, is there really that many foods that are actually designated to very specific times of the day? Lunch and dinner I usually put together. Brunch is a made-up word. It's not really a thing. We're going to completely go past that. And then there's breakfast. Like scrambled eggs. Scrambled eggs to me is breakfast, right? Like that is breakfast, no doubt. You can have it at other times of the day. I mean, there's the whole, like, you know, having breakfast for dinner kind of deal. Love doing that. Loved as a kid. Still crave that every now and then. I'm not a big breakfast food person, but that's the thing too. Like, what is breakfast food? Home fries, I guess, would also be considered a breakfast food. I've said scrambled eggs. I agree with this guy on Twitter with the whole cereal is a dinner cuisine or a before bed cuisine. Fully agree. But how many foods are actually, like, designated for certain times? Steak to me has become, like, it's dinner. After like 4:30, you're allowed to have it. Before that, you're kind of a weirdo. But then there is sort of like that weird wiggle room where, like, certain entrees are more, you know, breakfast sort of ideas. Very weird, very weird. As a foodie myself, I kind of eat whatever I'm craving. I'm a big, you know, taco person and all that stuff. And if I could, and if it was socially acceptable, I'd have tacos three times a day. three meals a day, no problem. I would enjoy it every single time. And I'm not talking breakfast tacos. I'd have a cheeseburger whenever I want. But steak to me, as much as I love steak, I don't know if I could do it for breakfast. There's like a certain window there for me where I can start having it. And I would say like 4:30 p.m. is like a really good cutoff point. Because before that, I just feel like I'm breaking all kinds of rules in the world. And I don't want to do that. Before we, jump into the rest of the show, quick update for everything. Of course, as me being the one talking tonight, no Sabres game tonight. It was postponed due to, of course, the weather here in Buffalo over the Christmas weekend. I hope everyone is doing safe and they're doing well. I, was very lucky. I was stuck here over the Christmas break, which, if you've been listening to the show, you do know that I got stuck here until around Sunday afternoon. I got home. Family is safe. Everyone's good. I hope everyone else is doing well. It does sound like more of the driving bans are being lifted. People are being able to get out of their homes, which is wonderful to hear. However, I do know the death tolls are I think, around 30, and that is always heartbreaking no matter what. So the Sabres game did get postponed. I don't think there's been a date yet. I haven't seen one. The Sabres said they were going to be tweeting out one, or at least when it got confirmed ASAP. That was yesterday. I've not seen one since. Thursday, though, looks to be their next game. That is against the Detroit Red Wings. They host them. We'll see what happens there. The Buffalo Airport is not projected to open until tomorrow around 11 a.m. And if you do want to read more, our own Paul Hampson has more at our website at WGR550.com. I think he has got two pieces up today. And the big news out of the NFL today, which is something I do want to talk about real quick before we talk into more of the broad topics for tonight. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, announced his retirement from the NFL. At least this will be his final season. He's been in the NFL since 2011, 10 years with the Houston Texans, these last two with the Arizona Cardinals. Watt, to me, is a lot like Aaron Donald. I don't know if I'd ever say Watt's like the greatest edge rusher of all time. Like, to me, Aaron Donald feels like the greatest defensive tackle of all time. I feel very comfortable in saying that. Watt, though, to me, is still one of the best defensive players I've ever watched in my generation. Especially when you look at the team he was on, the Houston Texans, and they weren't good. DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt did so much with a really poor organization, really until Watson had got there his last few years in Houston. But Watt started to get injured a lot. He was not the same player he was in the late 2010s, where he was really, really a force of nature. Five-time first-team All-Pro. He seemed just like, to me, him and Donald were the two guys on defense that really had a strong argument for actually being the MVP of the league, especially, I can't remember exactly which year it was. I'm going to try to look it up and try to find out. It may have been their first playoff win with J.J. Watt, but I just remember him just, he was the reason they were good. Like, just flat out the reason they were even remotely good. And he's a 20-sack guy twice, 17 and a half as well, 16 in 2018. There was this five-year window here where he was just untouchable. He wins Defensive Player of the Year his second year in the league in 2012. They go 12-4, yes. So it would have been that year where it did feel like he just dragged them to a solid record. Matt Schaub, I think T.J. Yates starts that playoff game against Cincinnati that they win. God, now I'm going down a rabbit hole. We got to figure this out. It's got to be T.J. Yates because this goes against Andy Dalton. No, it was Matt Schaub. Wow. Arian Foster, remember that? Yep. But he was such an electric player for his entire career, really. And even, there's the jokes that former, Buffalo Bill, J.J. Watt, because there was the constant rumors that he was going to sign here. The Bills really wanted him and all that stuff. Never came to pass, which ultimately has really worked out for the Bills. He is not the player necessarily that you thought he could be. Injuries really have derailed his career pretty aggressively, but without a shadow of a doubt, he is going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot, the first Houston Texan, I believe, to be put into the Hall of Fame. And I don't think there's anyone even slightly more deserving outside of like Andre Johnson, who he himself was always just a horribly underrated receiver just because the quarterbacks he played with were just atrocious. Matt Schaub was one of them as well, but now I'm going through Andre Johnson's stats just because we're going to go down this Houston Texans rabbit hole. Yeah, he had a number of 1,500-yard seasons, a number of over 1,000-yard seasons, just a huge body, 6'3", 230, mammoth of a man. But the Houston Texans, They've had incredibly talented players. I've named three of them. Arian Foster, I've named four of them. But just, they're going to be the first overall pick this year. I think they're going to probably draft Bryce Young. I don't know if there's necessarily another quarterback worth taking at number one overall. I know I've seen some in the draft circles. I think Mel Kiper, even in his initial big board for the quarterbacks, has Will Levis as the number one talent. He has probably, I would say, the best arm talent. We'll dive more into the draft as we get closer to that, probably well after the Bills are eliminated from the playoffs. We'll jump really into that as well. But Houston's going to take quarterback, but they just seem so far off. They really do. I'm fine that they're rebuilding. I always kind of root for tanks and rebuilds because I think that that's the way to do it. It's the negative way to do it. The way you don't do it is to constantly ignore the fact that you need a rebuild. I like that Houston has done that. They're gonna throw their hat in the ring now of the tank and see if Bryce Young or whoever they pick at quarterback is the guy. I like that they gave Davis Mills an honest chance to try to hold out of that job. He couldn't, but they've got a long way to go. But at least J.J. Watt in 5 years is going to really give them sort of that positive of, hey, remember the great years. I mean, he led them to two playoff wins, or he was a major part of two or three playoff wins. And you can't take that away. He's an incredible player, one of only three defense players in NFL history to win Player of the Year three times, the other two being Aaron Donald, who I've mentioned is, to me, the greatest defensive tackle in NFL history. I don't even know if that's necessarily up for debate. He really is just a constant force. I think Eric Eager today as well from Sumer Sports even brought up today as well that like Aaron Donald may have been the best player in the NFL for like the last decade. I would agree with that as well. Oftentimes the best player in the NFL is not actually a quarterback. It is one of these freak of nature defensive players. I think as well, like another person that comes to mind for me at least is Randy Moss in his early, I'd say probably first 5 years in the NFL was just head and shoulders above so many other players. I don't care about quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Like, he was so far ahead of like anybody else. I'd say as well, like Earl Campbell during his run in the NFL, he had a shorter career, but I'd say Earl Campbell during his run was probably the best player in the NFL. It's very rarely quarterbacks. Very, very rarely quarterbacks. Maybe in the 80s, Marino had a 2 year run there where he was. But Watt to me has had a run there at least one of his 20 sack seasons where he's probably the best player in football. But Aaron Donald, to me, yeah, you can make the argument that for 10 years, if we're just not value, but just straight up the best football player, Donald probably is up there. And then Lawrence Taylor, who to me, I've never seen, obviously, Lawrence Taylor play live. I've only seen really highlights. I know of the story of Lawrence Taylor. But to many, still to this day, he is considered the best defensive player of all time. And I very rarely really hear arguments to that. I mean, you'll have positional battles then, with cornerbacks and safeties, linebackers. But he also changed the edge rusher, or really the linebacker position, of being an outside linebacker and being a pass rusher and being somebody that can absolutely blow up a play on any given down. Micah Parsons is very much in that mold of Lawrence Taylor. Von Miller is as well, where he's technically a linebacker, but we all know where he's lining up. It's at the edge, and he has got one job, annihilate the quarterback. So I think the NFL is definitely going to miss J.J. Watt. Number one of the good guys around the NFL as well. And just a supreme talent, but good for him to get out a lot of injuries. And of course, we're not going to be without a Watt brother. TJ Watt is still a force of nature in the NFL. He is exceptional as well. It's going to be really cool that probably both those brothers are going to be Hall of Famers. So that'll be really, really cool. And then UB today. UB football, their bowl game started at noon. I watched, I think, the first half before I had to get over here to work. They take down Georgia Southern 23-21 in the Camellia Bowl, which is it Alabama's? Like, flower? Is that what it is? I know the game took place in Montgomery, Alabama, so I got to imagine that's like their state flower. I don't know. I know every state has a flower, and I could not care less to find out which one is which. I'm not a flower guy. I'm not a herbologist or anything like that. I don't really get plants. I like salads. Salads are kind of cool. Some vegetables are solid. That's about it. But this is UB's third bowl win in 4 years. I think that program, when I was going to those games when I was younger, like them getting like six first downs would have been a huge moment. They had like the one MAC championship with, I want to say their quarterback's name was Drew Willey. I saw a bowl game there when I went up to Toronto. I think the International Bowl. But to see UB football really taking that step forward is really, really nice. I hope the basketball program gets back to where they were, at least somewhat. Nate Oates has proven that he's a top 10 coach in all of college basketball, but I hope the basketball program gets back there because, as many people do know who have listened to the station, I am a huge college basketball junkie, and it was a lot of fun when both Bonaventure and UB were really, really good. Both the men and women's team for UB were exceptional, and it was a lot of fun to watch those teams, to keep track of them, to turn on ESPN at 8 at night, and oh my gosh, UB's playing West Virginia, and UB's favored, and then they put up 90 on them. It was one of those cooler eras of Buffalo sports, was just watching those college teams be as good as they were. With that being said, I do want to talk a lot about the NFL tonight, especially the AFC playoff picture. The LA Chargers did lock in their spot last night with a win over the Colts. Really never in doubt either. Nick Foles looked terrible. His career is fascinating, Nick Foles. You can never take 2017 away from him. You can never take the fact that he threw 7 touchdown passes in a game away from him. And he had a year, 25 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, I think, in that same year. You can never take that away from Nick Foles. He has had moments of complete brilliance where just it makes sense why he's able to deal and 27-2. My God. His second year in the league, 24 years old, 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, shy under 3,000 yards. 7 of those in one game against the Raiders. Remember that game? That was very weird.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
But he just has such like a rocky everything else. That single season and the 2017 playoff run. Everything else is just very, what are we getting here? But they were so electric. His playoff run, of course, in maybe the greatest play, a quarterback duel of all time, Tom Brady versus Nick Foles in that game. Just if we're looking at pure stats, Tom Brady throws for over 500 yards and still loses. And Foles outdueled him. He's had these moments of greatness. But you can see why he was never a franchise guy. Has all the talent in the world, just cannot sustain it for long periods. Even in 2018, when Carson Wentz was still hurt and they were playing Foles as well, Foles didn't look like he did in the playoffs. And then when he signs that big contract with Jacksonville, he gets hurt early. He had one good throw, but for the rest of it, you're just like, he's not that good. He's not that good. But he's had his moments in the playoffs for Philadelphia Eagles fans where, and of course how the Carson Wentz thing ended, he is going to just be remembered so fondly in that city, which is a testament to his ability because that city is a rough one to be beloved in. There are very few players in my mind, especially on the Eagles, who can truly say that they are beloved players in that city and with that fan base. So good for him on that. I do now, jumping into the AFC playoff picture, though. The Chargers locked in their seed. They can jump from the 6th or 7th. I think they can also maybe get the 5. But I don't think so. I think at this point now, Cincinnati and Baltimore have really kind of locked in either the 3 or 5, depending on who ends up winning that division. And the Chargers can move to 7, which is right now occupied by the Miami Dolphins. We don't really know what's going on with the Tua situation. That could really be a big part of what happens with the Miami Dolphins. It does seem like, though, the 7 seed is really going to be taken up by 3 teams. Pittsburgh, I guess, is in there. I'm not really going to throw them out there. It really does feel like Miami, New England, and the Jets are going to be those teams that are going to try to grab the 7 seed. And Mike was bringing up a lot today, too, of like, you know, who would you want to take on that 2 seed? Who could be, you know, of course, the Bills, who are right now the 1 seed, but they can fall. The Chiefs or the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, who do you want to actually play those teams to maybe get rid of one of them? And we heard a lot of people say the Jets. And the defense, yes. The defense, absolutely. I think they can give both teams a ton of fits. I think especially Cincinnati. And that's mainly because where Allen and Mahomes are very, very good at escaping sacks and really extending plays, Burrow, to me, is just flat out not. And with Lyle Collins out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL and MCL, that could be a really, really difficult run for the Bengals to deal with, especially because Burrow can at times just stand in the pocket and just continue to take sacks. And sacks are drive killers, especially on second and third down. I know the Bills have had their run of third and longs giving them up. That to me, I don't think that's going to continue. That just a run of terrible luck. But I think the Jets is an interesting answer, especially with Mike White. You give him 2 more games, and if they get in, I mean, if they get in, that means he's been playing well. That means they've won 2 in a row, which I believe. So I've got the ESPN playoff machine up. So New York plays Seattle. It's at Seattle. Seattle's defense is atrocious. Geno Smith's playing great. NFC Pro Bowler as well. Great for him. But there's something about Mike White. I don't love him, but I also really kind of like him. I like what he does. I think he's incredibly limited, but he still does enough. So if the Jets win Seattle, let's go to the other AFC East matchup. Miami at New England. I'm going to take New England in this matchup because of everything that's going on with Tua. I'm going to take New England there. And if that happens, so if the Jets beat Seattle and if Miami loses to New England, New England's the 7 seed. Let's actually run through the whole Week 17 schedule. Cowboys at Tennessee. Cowboys easily. Malik Willis is going to be the starting quarterback there for Tennessee. That team is spiraling and hurtling like a meteor towards an aggressive rebuild. It's going to be really, really interesting to watch, especially because they seem to be a team that wants to compete, but I could see them also being a team that's willing to trade guys like Derrick Henry to really fast forward that rebuild. Next game doesn't really play any dividends at all in the AFC. Arizona at Atlanta. I'll take Arizona here just because with Trace McSorley, they were able to take Tampa Bay to overtime. I think they'll just beat Atlanta. Chicago, Detroit. I'm going to take Detroit here, even though Detroit seems to be a really ugly team that they will constantly cause problems for, which will be good. That actually would put them in the 7 seed in the NFC. That'd be interesting. Jacksonville, Houston. I think Jacksonville, come on, don't screw this up in Houston. You have a great tank going. Do not botch that to Chicago. I'm going to take Jacksonville there. Denver, Kansas City. Nope, Kansas City. Indianapolis, New York. Giants, and I'm going to take the Giants there. The Giants right now, if they win that game 9-6-1, I think they're locked into the 6th seed there. NFC East, man, they went from kind of like a laughing stock of the NFL to, depending on the day, they have all four teams in the playoffs. I know the NFC is not better than the AFC, but all four, really? That's interesting. New Orleans at Philadelphia, even with Gardner Minshew. I thought Gardner Minshew actually showed a lot against the Dallas Cowboys, and New Orleans, to me, shows absolutely no fight every single week. Carolina at Tampa Bay. I'm going to go Carolina here. I don't like a single thing about Tampa. I didn't like how Brady performed on Sunday Night Football this past week on Christmas. And Carolina, to me, I don't know, like that rushing attack, the fact that Sam Darnold's playing somewhat clean football. And to be honest, again, like just Tampa, there's nothing really positive there. This feels like a game they would drop in the middle of a playoff race. They'd be 7-8 at that point, losing that game. I'm sorry, they'd be 7-9 if they lose that game. So, like, playoff race, little interesting. Cleveland at Washington. I'm going to take Washington in this game just because they've got to fight. They're fighting for their lives at that point. If they win that game and Detroit wins theirs, Washington will move back into the seventh seed. So Washington keeps their playoff hopes alive. San Francisco at Raiders. San Francisco easily. Brock Purdy, to me, has just been very, very good for them. Basically a stalwart situation for them. I really like what he does. And, you know, Chris McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk, by the way, has turned into a really, really, really good route runner, doing a lot for them at the receiver position, especially with Deebo Samuel out. And if they get him back for the playoffs, ooh, could be a real problem. Minnesota at Green Bay. I'm going to take Minnesota here. I don't like almost anything that Minnesota does, but they just win close games, and Green Bay, to me, just does not do enough, even slightly. Rams at Chargers. I'm going to take the Chargers there. Of course, that keeps them in the sixth seed. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. I'm going to take Baltimore here, even if it's Tyler Huntley. Pittsburgh, to me, Kenny Pickett, I'm trying to like what Pittsburgh does. And it does feel like Mike Tomlin is going to work his way into an above 500 season, but I think that ends here with Baltimore. It's a divisional matchup, Sunday Night Football. And I think the Baltimore Ravens can do it. They're not really playing for their playoff lives, but I like them to do it. Ooh, if Pittsburgh wins this, though, LA's not locked into the five seed. That's interesting. I thought they were. If Pittsburgh wins that game, the Chargers, and if the Chargers win theirs, of course, they'll move into the fifth seed. Baltimore will move into the sixth seed. That could be a potential six seed Ravens versus a three seed in Cincinnati. That actually would be kind of cool. Do I want to take the Steelers here now? Just for the fun matchup, I'm going to. And then I'm going to take the Bills over Cincinnati. I know in the AFC reverse power rankings today, I had Cincinnati as one still. And that's more or less just because I do like what Cincinnati's doing. They haven't lost yet. So for me, there's no reason to move them. They've had close games, of course, with New England. The Bills have had close games. I do think the Bills' defense is better than the Cincinnati Bengals' defense. However, I do think the offensive playmakers for the Cincinnati Bengals are a threat. They are very, very, very good. And they do make me nervous. But I do like the Bills' chances of winning this game, mainly because the Bills have shown over the last few weeks that they really do rise to the opponents they're playing. Detroit, that Thanksgiving game showed that Detroit's pretty good, and the Bills played them really, really well. And the defense is getting healthier. Obviously, no Von Miller. And let's see if the Bills can get Stephon Diggs going. I think they will just because they know they're going to need to use him. And I think the last few weeks have shown that the run game can do something. I think it will force Cincinnati to somewhat honor it where other teams in the past really haven't had to. So with that week 17 schedule done, we'll run through both the conferences just to kind of see what each playoff matchup is. In the AFC, the first round bye and the number one seed goes to the Buffalo Bills. Your wild card games, the 2 seed, Kansas City Chiefs versus the 7 seed New England Patriots, 3 seed Cincinnati Bengals versus the 6 seed in the Baltimore Ravens, and the 4 seed Jacksonville Jaguars versus the 5 seed Los Angeles Chargers. In the NFC, the first round bye goes to the number 1 seed in Philadelphia. Then you have the 2nd seed Minnesota Vikings hosting the 7 seed Washington Commanders, the 3 seed San Francisco 49ers hosting the 6 seed New York Giants, and the 4 seed Carolina Panthers hosting the 5 seed Dallas Cowboys. Real quick, on the Dallas Cowboys, who have had just an awful playoff record since the 90s, and even with Dak and Romo never even had a playoff win, that would be a sneaky game that I know a lot of bettors would jump on just to, because it's Mike McCarthy, it's Dallas. Is Carolina that, the Seattle Seahawks team from 2010, the Marshawn Lynch team with the Beastquake, was that the run called? I don't know. Great run, though. If you know the run I'm talking about, where he just bulldozes like 7 or 8 New Orleans Saints players, that could be that game where Dallas is just kind of this, they're good, but they're not great. They have clear issues, but their highs have been great. And all of a sudden, they lose to Carolina at home. I think that could absolutely happen. But moving on to week 18, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. I am going to take Tampa Bay there. I don't think they're that bad. Bills at Patriots. The Bills are going to have to play that game seriously just because, of course, the Chiefs in this bracket, because they did not lose to Denver, they're going to have to stay alive. And I'm taking the Bills there. I think New England's a bad football team. I think they could sneak into the playoffs, but to me, they have no answers at all for the Bills offense. So we're going to take Bills against Patriots, Minnesota at Chicago, Minnesota there, Baltimore at Cincinnati. That's the division right there. If Baltimore wins that, Baltimore takes the AFC North. Cincinnati will move to the 5 seed where they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. If Cincinnati wins that game, nothing changes. Baltimore's the 6, Cincinnati's the 3, and they play each other a week later. I love that. That's what I want right there. Give me another AFC North matchup. Have them play each other one more time for the division. I've got to imagine at that point Lamar is back. He plays week 18, tries to win the division. I'm not going to give it to him, though. That receiver room is so bad. It's so bad. Sammy Watkins had a nice play, but there's just nothing there, really. Lions at Green Bay. I'm going to take Green Bay there. I like Green Bay's defense and that running performance, or that run defense performance by the Lions against Carolina. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon are very, very good. I think they could just hand the ball off and just whittle them down. And at that point, I believe as well the Lions season would essentially be done unless a few other things in the NFC happen, but I don't imagine they will. Houston at Indianapolis. I'm going to take Indianapolis there. Tennessee at Jacksonville. The battle for the AFC South, for me, it's an easy, easy pick. We talked a little bit about it in the AFC reverse power rankings. I don't think there's two teams more polar opposite of one another at the current moment. Tennessee is on a losing streak. I think they're going to lose again in week 17. And I think Jacksonville's going to win again in week 17. To me, I know it comes down to the AFC South for this matchup, but to me, I think it's very clear Jacksonville wins that game. They finished the season 9-8 as the four seed. Way to pull it around when they had, 2-7? Way to pull that around. And the Jets versus the Dolphins. To me personally, I think at this point, Tua's going to be out for the year. I am going to take the Jets there. I think the Jets are going to be playing for their lives, and the team loves Mike White. They're going to rally around him, and I think you're going to have a guy like Garrett Wilson, yes, a rookie. I think he is going to pop off against a lot of these teams. Carolina at New Orleans. I'm going to take Carolina here, which will mean they win the NFC South, even with Tampa Bay beating Atlanta because of Week 17. I had Carolina beating Tampa. New York at Philadelphia. I think at this point they're sitting players in Philadelphia. So I think New York is going to win that game. That locks them into the sixth seed at 10-6-1. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Pittsburgh there. Cowboys at Washington. I'm going to take the Cowboys in that one as they, I think, are going to try to just kind of lock up the five seed. Not really have any worry. I don't think they're going to have a worry anyways at all. Chargers at Broncos. I'm taking the Chargers there. I think the Chargers are going to finish with a really good record on a really, really good run here. Kansas City, Vegas. Kansas City easily. They're going to be the two seed. Arizona and San Francisco. San Francisco easily for me. And the Rams and Seattle. I'm going to take Seattle there. The Rams, I think they're wrapping it up a little bit. And while Baker Mayfield had a pretty good run, I'm going to take Seattle there. And now, before we hit our first break, go through both playoffs if this is how the last 2 weeks play out. In the AFC, your first round bye and your number one overall seed is the Buffalo Bills at a record of 14-3. Your wild card games see the second seed Kansas City Chiefs at 14-3 versus and hosting the 7 seed New York Jets at 9-8, which they've had a rough run here. But if they're able to get Mike White in and actually, put together two straight wins, and that would be against Seattle and Miami, I think they absolutely earn getting in that first wild card game. And definitely a wild card game I would love to watch. I hope that would be the early one. I want that to be the early one. Then your next game would be the 3-seed Cincinnati Bengals hosting again for the second week in a row, the 6-seed in the Baltimore Ravens, and then your final AFC wildcard game, the 4-seed Jacksonville Jaguars hosting the LA Chargers. Over in the NFC, the first round bye will go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Your wildcard game see the 2nd seed Minnesota Vikings hosting the 7-seed Washington Commanders. Your 3-seed San Francisco 49ers against the 6-seed New York Giants, and then a game that I think could be very interesting betting-wise, and even just game-wise, 4-seed Carolina Panthers hosting the 5-seed Dallas Cowboys. That's just how I think it could wind up. Of course, after Week 17, I think we'll run through this again as well to kind of get a good look at what the playoffs could be, because we're starting to, we're at this point now, there's not 15 teams that are vying for a playoff spot. There's really about 3 or 4 in both conferences, but I think right there, looking at this right now, I think, of course, the matchups I'd be looking at the most, of course, in the AFC, Baltimore at Cincinnati. Give me an AFC North matchup. Their third time they would play each other this year. I think that'd be awesome. And really, I'd watch all the wild card games. I think the Jets could be a really feisty team for the Kansas City Chiefs and absolutely could be a stunning upset. And the Chargers versus Jacksonville, I think those two teams are actually way closer than the record says. And it's only a 2-game difference, but Jacksonville to me actually feels like an 11-6 team, where the Chargers more feel like a 9-10 win team. So I think that could be fun. The Giants and 49ers, they've had some really big duels in the playoffs in years past, especially in the early 2000s and the late 90s. And then, of course, as well, as I said, Dallas and Carolina could be a lot of fun. We're going to take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll talk a little more NFL, especially the MVP conversation, as I think that might be wrapped up and why it could be a good thing for the Bills going forward. We're going to do it when we come back here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. No Sabres game tonight. Got postponed due to, of course, the inclement weather that has been affecting Buffalo the past about 4 or 5 days, and still really very much feeling the after effects of that storm. Hope everyone is safe. Hope everyone is with their families. Had a wonderful Christmas as much as you could. So hopefully if you're tuning in, you're having a good time, you're enjoying yourself, a little distraction. I decided to go on the ESPN's Playoff Maker and just kind of run through the next two games, week 17, 18, just pick them, you know, just and not a ton of thought into it. I wasn't necessarily looking, except for really the AFC North, but we'll get to that. I wasn't necessarily looking at, you know, exactly what games I want to, you know, see and you know, why I want this team in. Just let's pick them. Let's see what teams wind up in where they're at. So I tweeted out after we went to the break, which of these potential AFC wildcard matchups would be your favorite? You can tweet at me at ZacharyJones198 if you want to give your thought as well. The three games are Jets at Chiefs. That'd be the 7 versus the 2. Ravens at Bengals. It's 6 versus 3. And then Chargers at Jaguars. The 5 versus the 4. We got some nice tweets coming in as well. Just, you know, and I like that it's a bit of a mix. The clear favorite, though, as well, though, is Jets Chiefs. We got JP5 tweeting in Jets Chiefs. Dennis, as well, also is very curious to see what Jets-Chiefs matchup would look like. Mark tweets in, Bolts-Jaguars is the only right answer. The others are sleeping emoji. I kind of like that attitude, though, that he's like, nah, Jets-Chiefs, whatever. One's a defensive team. You know, Mike White, fun story, but, you know, probably right. And the Jets are a defensive team. They're not going to be this, you know, we're going to score 45 and we hope you can keep up. They're not that team. I'd agree with that. Bolts Jags, though. I didn't talk about it much in the last segment, so I'll talk about it here a little bit. But real quick, other tweets we got in. Zachary tweeted in, Ravens versus Bengals. Only one that is close to a rivalry. Miami versus Kansas City is the only other matchup that I could see being as good as it is. I would say with Tua it would be, but I think without Tua, number one, I don't think Miami makes the playoffs. But I think Miami versus Kansas City would also be a pretty good one. But I do want to talk Mark's tweet here. Bolts, Jaguars, only right answer. The others are sleeping emoji. The play that Trevor Lawrence is at right now is so high. He is number one in most statistical categories from like week 9 forward in like everything he's doing. Trevor Lawrence has looked incredible for like a month and a half. He has made Zay Jones, who Bills fans will know, former second-round pick of the Bills. He's turned him into a 100-yard receiver and 3-touchdown kind of guy. Christian Kirk, whose contract to me was just obnoxious and absurd. He's turning that contract into, okay, you know, they paid for their number one. And Marvin Jones Jr., who has always been a pretty darn good receiver, is doing work there. And, of course, then you also have Travis Etienne, who is starting to come along. He's not totally there yet, but they trade away James Robinson because they want to start getting Etienne more involved. Just looking at their stats real quick, Trevor Lawrence right now, 65 completion percentage, almost 66, 3,700 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, with 2 more games to play and 2 very meaningful games. I know week 17 they can't lock in a playoff spot, but for them as well, you know, they're still going to be somewhat looking at that wild card position. So I think he could get really close to 30 touchdown passes. Etienne exactly at 1,000 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. And then you look at the receivers. Christian Kirk needs 20 more yards to get to 1,000 yards. He's almost at 80 receptions, 76 right now, 7 touchdown catches. Zay Jones, 75 catches, 778 yards, 5 touchdowns. Evan Engram, who's really come on as of late, 723 yards, 68 catches, 4 touchdowns. And Marvin Jones Jr., as I have brought up, 439 yards and 3 touchdowns. They're really, really coming along, I think, at the right time as well. And they feel like a team that is a year early. They've arrived a year early. But I will say, though, if they had maybe had a guy like Doug Peterson there before Urban Meyer, and they had drafted Trevor Lawrence and had a guy like Doug Peterson, I'm not saying they had to have him absolutely, but I think he was available. I believe Doug Peterson was already out as Philadelphia's head coach. So I'm positive, because I think I wanted him to initially go there and he didn't, and now he's there. Yeah, he could have been. Yeah. So if they had him, so if they had Doug Peterson, what are we looking at now with the Jets or with the Jags? Trevor Lawrence was the can't miss quarterback prospect out there, and now he's playing like it. And to be honest, I don't really know any of these can't miss prospects that have really missed. Now I'm talking number one overall pick, you tank for this dude kind of guys that have missed. And some people will try to like throw in, what's his name? Oh, the guy for Ryan Leaf. There we go. They'll throw in Ryan Leaf, but no, because to me, there was a real competition between who was number one. It was between him and Peyton Manning. I'm talking John Elway, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. To me, those are the three. Those are it. Those are the can't miss. Everyone was tanking for him. And even with guys that maybe had a better career. Dan Marino had a better earlier career than John Elway. And you could argue had a better career overall. And Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson has better stats than Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck dealt with a lot of injuries. But if we're being honest, all of them hit. Those two absolutely hit. Andrew Luck in a season flipped the Colts from the worst team in football at 1-15 to in the playoffs. And while his stats weren't the prettiest thing in the world, he got results. He got wins. And in his last 2 years, when he had a good offensive line, he was electric. He was awesome. And I think the Colts would be a real problem the last 2 years if Andrew Luck didn't retire due to injuries. But Trevor Lawrence is now starting to hit. And coming into next year, so I mean, let's say this whole thing goes right. They're in the playoffs, and they've got the Chargers at home. And let's say because of the Chargers and because, well, Herbert has his moments of not looking great. We don't really know either what either of these teams will look at in the playoffs. But let's say it goes to the home team. Jags win it. Now, I think at that point, they're probably the lowest seed team, so they could take on Buffalo. And they probably lose in the AFC divisional round. Okay. Now, I personally want nothing to do with Jacksonville. I think Trevor Lawrence is playing unbelievable football right now. Going into next year, you're starting to get a little worried. Cam Robinson will be healthy. That's the thing, too. They don't have their left tackle in Cam Robinson, but I think they're making do. But they'll get Cam Robinson back. Another year of Travis Etienne. Another year of Christian Kirk. Another year, though, the biggest one to me is Trevor Lawrence. He is going to be a sneaky bet, and I'm probably going to put money on him to win the NFL MVP. I'll probably put like 10, 15 bucks down on it. Well, actually, no, I can't because we can't in New York. I'm going to have somebody put money down for me because I think it'll be a great bet. I think it's going to be one to kind of watch. I want to see what his initial numbers come out as. But anyone that can bet on it, I wonder if my buddy in New Jersey can do it. I might have him do it, and then I'll take half the money from him because I gave him the idea. We'll do that. But they're such an interesting team. I don't want Bills fans to look at the Jaguars and start laughing, like especially if that is the divisional round matchup. They are not even 2 years ago's Jaguars. They're not even really the AFC Championship Jaguars, who always had a ceiling. They could have won a Super Bowl. Yes, they absolutely. That defense was awesome. Saxonville's a dumb name, but they were awesome. But they had a clear ceiling, and that team fell apart quick. This team, because when you always build a team around a quarterback, there is longevity there. That is a team that can keep pushing and keep going for a few years, even when they sign their quarterbacks to a long-term deal, because the quarterback, the elite guys, make their team better than they are. They get wins over teams that maybe they shouldn't have. Look at the Bills right now. The Bills came into the season potentially the most talented team in football. That turned out to not be true. The offensive line has a lot of holes. The wide receiver position outside of Stephon Diggs is very much a big question mark. And the secondary had a lot of injury issues. And potentially they could be 14-3. They have the one seed now at 12-3. A lot of that is due to Allen being a freak of nature and a phenom and an elite quarterback. Same goes with the Chiefs. They lose Tyreek Hill. Their defense has always been suspect. And yet Mahomes is able to will them to wins at times. Him and Travis Kelce, really. And likewise, Allen and Diggs at times. Jacksonville is teetering towards having that next great AFC quarterback. And to me, Trevor Lawrence has got a cannon for an arm, an absolute bazooka, 6'6", and he does have wheels. He is exactly what you want in the modern quarterback. And then you look at the division he's in. Flat out, we know for a fact, Houston is still rebuilding. Indianapolis is a tire fire. And Tennessee, I think, is heading towards a rebuild. I said a lot at the end of last year that I thought the Jets, especially after the draft, could be a sneaky good team. That turned out to be true, and I was wrong on one thing. I thought Zach Wilson would take I thought he would take the next leap. Turned out he didn't. It just turned out their defense was awesome, their playmakers were great, and Mike White's serviceable. But that defense really was a big part of that. I think Jacksonville's that next year's team that can take that massive leap forward. They have the weapons. They have the coach. And I think without a doubt, they have the quarterback. And if they get a playoff win against the Chargers in that wild card round, and that would be a game I am absolutely glued to. If they get that win, even if they don't really, but especially if they do, it is going to be hard for people to not bet them. That's what I'll do. I'm not going to bet Trevor Lawrence MVP. I'm just going to hammer money home that they're going to be like a top three seed. Because I think as well, eventually the Chiefs are going to lose hold of the AFC West, especially with a guy like Herbert in the West. But there is not a soul in that division outside of Jacksonville that can even slightly compete with the Jaguars next year. It is going to be a tire fire of a division. I could see it, honestly. I mean, they could have it wrapped up by week 16, week 15, week 16, because they're just running through teams in their division. And I think they're going to be a real threat. Not potentially to get the one seed, because they could go 6-0 in their division, easy peasy, and they're kind of just figuring out from there. They're going to have a tougher schedule because I think they're going to win the South. But if they're getting six easy wins right there, it's going to be tough. I think the Jaguars are definitely a threat. I like that idea, too, of that being the best game. So, yeah, thank you for everyone that tweeted in. That's getting us getting connected to our fans. We'll jump around through some more tweets as well. When we come back, we're going to take a quick time out. And when we come back, of course, we'll run through some more tweets coming in about potential AFC, you know, wild card matchups, what's going on. You know, if the Bills aren't playing, it's going to be a really, I want to say a relaxing week, but it'll also just be nice to see, to me, what is the best weekend in football, which is wild card weekend. We'll also talk a little bit about the MVP conversation. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think it could be good for the Bills if Allen does not win the MVP. We'll talk about that when we come back as we wrap up the show here on a Tuesday. This is WGR.
All right.
Welcome back to the Nightcap. Here as we wrap up the show on a Tuesday night. Quick final segment. Do want to like mention a little bit about the MVP conversations that is, of course, drawing to a close. The NFL season, regular season, excuse me, only has two more weeks. Jalen Hurts, I think, is pretty much out of it. Mahomes looks to be the runaway favorite. I believe most bookies had him as a minus 500 favorite to win. I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. I haven't gotten any pushback on it yet, but I am definitely somebody that is not like dying for Allen to win the MVP. And of course, there is a big reason why, for me at least. And some of you may know the stat. You've probably heard me say it before. The last player to win the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl in the same season was Kurt Warner in 1998 with the greatest show on turf. Excuse me. There's not a single team in the NFL this year that is that. And I don't think Mahomes winning the MVP, personally, for me, number one, I just don't think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year. I just don't. And I think if he wins the MVP, weirdly enough, and I know there'll be a lot of Bills fans out there that'll be upset, and rightfully so. Allen has had a great year. But for me, I will actually be somewhat happy if it's announced that Allen did not win the MVP. Because at least for me, especially if it's Mahomes, I just don't think he's going to be the first player to break that streak. I think that is a real thing. And I think a lot of times the MVP is given to a player that sometimes has to drag a lesser team kicking and screaming, and can oftentimes cause, obviously, as we've seen in the last few years, especially with Aaron Rodgers, issues in the playoffs. That's going to do it here on a Tuesday night. I'll be back for the Nightcap tomorrow, and I'll be back with Shope, with Mike Shope, because Bulldog is off this week. I was going to say Shope and the Bulldog. Bulldog is off this week. I'll be back with Mike Shope tomorrow, starting at 3. This has been the Nightcap, and this is WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Doug Peterson, what are we looking at now with the Jets or with the Jags? Trevor Lawrence was the can't-miss quarterback prospect out there, and now he's playing like it. And to be honest, I don't really know any of these can't-miss prospects that have really missed. Now, I'm talking number one overall pick, you tank for this dude kind of guys that have missed. And some people will try to like throw in, what's his name? Oh, the guy for Ryan Leaf. There we go. They'll throw in Ryan Leaf. But no, because to me, there was a real competition between who was number one. It was between him and Peyton Manning. I'm talking John Elway, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. To me, those are the three. Those are it. Those are the can't-miss. Everyone was tanking for him. And even with guys that maybe had a better career, Dan Marino had a better earlier career than John Elway. And you can argue had a better career overall. And Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson has better stats than Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck dealt with a lot of injuries. But if we're being honest, all of them hit. Those two absolutely hit. Andrew Luck in a season flipped the Colts from the worst team in football at 1-15 to in the playoffs. And while his stats weren't the prettiest thing in the world, he got results. He got wins. And in his last 2 years, when he had a good offensive line, he was electric. He was awesome. And I think the Colts would be a real problem the last 2 years if Andrew Luck didn't retire due to injuries. But Trevor Lawrence is now starting to hit. And coming into next year, so I mean, let's say this whole thing goes right. They're in the playoffs, and they've got the Chargers at home. And let's say because of the Chargers and because, well, Herbert has his moments of not looking great. We don't really know either what either of these teams will look at in the playoffs. But let's say it goes to the home team. Jags win it. Now, I think at that point, they're probably the lowest seed team, so they could take on Buffalo. And they probably lose in the AFC divisional round. Okay. Now, I personally, I want nothing to do with Jacksonville. I think Trevor Lawrence is playing unbelievable football right now. Going into next year, you're starting to get a little worried. Cam Robinson will be healthy. That's the thing, too. They don't have their left tackle in Cam Robinson, but I think they're making do. But they'll get Cam Robinson back. Another year of Travis Etienne. Another year of Christian Kirk. Another year, though, the biggest one to me is Trevor Lawrence. He is going to be a sneaky bet, and I'm probably going to put money on him to win the NFL MVP. I'll probably put like 10, 15 bucks down on it. Well, actually, no, I can't because we can't in New York. I'm going to have somebody put money down for me because I think it'll be a great bet. I think it's going to be one to kind of watch. I want to see what his initial numbers come out as. But anyone that can bet on it, I wonder if my buddy in New Jersey can do it. I might have him do it, and then I'll take half the money from him because I gave him the idea. We'll do that. But they're such an interesting team. I don't want Bills fans to look at the Jaguars and start laughing, like especially if that is the divisional round matchup. They are not even 2 years ago's Jaguars. They're not even really the AFC Championship Jaguars, who always had a ceiling. They could have won a Super Bowl. Yes, they absolutely. That defense was awesome. Saxonville's a dumb name, but they were awesome. But they had a clear ceiling, and that team fell apart quick. This team, because when you always build a team around a quarterback, there is longevity there. That is a team that can keep pushing and keep going for a few years, even when they sign their quarterbacks to a long-term deal, because the quarterback, the elite guys, make their team better than they are. They get wins over teams that maybe they shouldn't have. Look at the Bills right now. The Bills came into the season potentially the most talented team in football. That turned out to not be true. The offensive line has a lot of holes. The wide receiver position outside of Stephon Diggs is very much a big question mark. And the secondary had a lot of injury issues. And potentially they could be 14-3. They have the one seed now at 12-3. A lot of that is due to Allen being a freak of nature and a phenom and an elite quarterback. Same goes with the Chiefs. They lose Tyreek Hill. Their defense has always been suspect. And yet Mahomes is able to will them to wins at times. Him and Travis Kelce, really. And likewise, Allen and Diggs at times. Jacksonville is teetering towards having that next great AFC quarterback. And to me, Trevor Lawrence has got a cannon for an arm, an absolute bazooka, 6'6", and he does have wheels. He is exactly what you want in the modern quarterback. And then you look at the division he's in. Flat out, we know for a fact, Houston is still rebuilding. Indianapolis is a tire fire. And Tennessee, I think, is heading towards a rebuild. I said a lot at the end of last year that I thought the Jets, especially after the draft, could be a sneaky good team. That turned out to be true. And I was wrong on one thing. I thought Zach Wilson would take, I thought he would take the next leap. Turned out he didn't. It just turned out their defense was awesome. Their playmakers were great. And Mike White's serviceable. But that defense really was a big part of that. I think Jacksonville's that next year's team that can take that massive leap forward. They have the weapons. They have the coach. And I think without a doubt, they have the quarterback. And if they get a playoff win against the Chargers in that wild card round, and that would be a game I am absolutely glued to. If they get that win, even if they don't, really. But especially if they do, it is going to be hard for people to not bet them. That's what I'll do. I'm not going to bet Trevor Lawrence MVP. I'm just going to hammer money home that they're going to be like a top three seed. Because I think as well, eventually the Chiefs are going to lose hold of the AFC West, especially with a guy like Herbert in the West. But there is not a soul in that division outside of Jacksonville that can even slightly compete with the Jaguars next year. It is going to be a tire fire of a division. I could see it, honestly. I mean, they could have it wrapped up by week 16, week 15, week 16, because they're just running through teams in their division. And I think they're going to be a real threat. Not potentially to get the one seed, because they could go 6-0 in their division, easy peasy, and they're kind of just figuring out from there. They're going to have a tougher schedule because I think they're going to win the South. But if they're getting six easy wins right there, it's going to be tough. I think the Jaguars are definitely a threat. I like that idea, too, of that being the best game. So, yeah, thank you for everyone that tweeted in. That's getting us getting connected to our fans. We'll jump around through some more tweets as well. When we come back, we're going to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, of course, we'll run through some more tweets coming in about potential AFC wildcard matchups, what's going on. You know, if the Bills aren't playing, it's going to be a really, I want to say a relaxing week, but it'll also just be nice to see, to me, what is the best weekend in football, which is Wild Card Weekend. We'll also talk a little bit about the MVP conversation. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think it could be good for the Bills if Allen does not win the MVP. We'll talk about that when we come back as we wrap up the show here on a Tuesday. This is WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap. Here as we wrap up the show on a Tuesday night. Quick final segment. Do want to mention a little bit about the MVP conversations. That is, of course, drawing to a close. The NFL season, regular season, excuse me, only has two more weeks. Jalen Hurts, I think, is pretty much out of it. Mahomes looks to be the runaway favorite. I believe most bookies had him as a minus 500 favorite to win. I'm okay with it. I'm all right with it. I haven't gotten any pushback on it yet. But I am definitely somebody that is not like dying for Allen to win the MVP. And of course, there is a big reason why, for me at least. And some of you may know the stat. You've probably heard me say it before. The last player to win the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl in the same season was Kurt Warner in 1998 with the greatest show on turf. Excuse me. There's not a single team in the NFL this year that is that. And I don't think Mahomes winning the MVP personally for me, number one, I just don't think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl this year. I just don't. And I think if he wins the MVP, weirdly enough, and I know there'll be a lot of Bills fans out there that will be upset, and rightfully so. Allen has had a great year. But for me, I will actually be somewhat happy if it's announced that Allen did not win the MVP. Because at least for me, especially if it's Mahomes, I just don't think he's going to be the first player to break that streak. I think that is a real thing. And I think a lot of times the MVP is given to a player that sometimes has to drag a lesser team kicking and screaming and can oftentimes cause, obviously, as we've seen in the last few years, especially with Aaron Rodgers, issues in the playoffs. That's going to do it here on a Tuesday night. I'll be back for the nightcap tomorrow, and I'll be back with Shope, with Mike Shope, because Bulldog is off this week. I was going to say Shope and the Bulldog. Bulldog is off this week. I'll be back with Mike Shope tomorrow, starting at 3. This has been the nightcap, and this is WGR.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.